would use your word in our hearts to challenge us. Father, I pray there would be Holy Spirit conviction today in our midst. Lord, I pray for one that has never trusted Christ to be their Savior. May this message be the message that changes their life, where they make the decision to turn from their sin and to trust Christ as their personal Savior. Use me as I preach. I pray that you give me power, and I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would just work in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as you read through the Gospels, of course, are the accounts of Jesus Christ and his ministry here on this earth. You've got the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four different books that cover the life and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as you go through those different books and you read them and you study them, there are different characters that many times will jump out over and over and over again. For instance, you read in the Gospels and you find out about a man by the name of Peter. And Peter's all throughout that book, man. He's all throughout the Gospels. Everybody knows about Peter, and you read about different characters many times. However, there are some names that are mentioned very few times and in just only certain places. And as we come to John chapter number 19, we come across a man by the name of Pilate. You know, Pilate was not a man that was really involved in Jesus' ministry until the end, as Christ was put on trial. Of course, we understand that Pilate was the governor over the land of Judea, and he was in Jerusalem right now because of the Passover time. The Passover was a time where the Jews would celebrate that the day that that God led them out of Egypt and delivered them from slavery and set them free from that bondage. It was something that was celebrated yearly. It was something that the Israelites would reflect on, and they would gather many times there in the capital city, the city of Jerusalem. And so here Pilate is. He's a leader of Judea. He's in charge of keeping the peace. And here is a politician that is put into a difficult position, because Pilate had to make a decision, and he had to make a choice of what he was going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the historians, Pilate was a man that was very connected to Rome. His wife was the granddaughter of Caesar Augustus, there in Luke chapter number 2. When Caesar Augustus made that decree that all the world should be taxed, she was the granddaughter of Caesar Augustus. He was a man that not only was political, but he was also a man that was a military man. He was in the 12th Legion, and then he went out and he battled for Rome, and he went out on missions. He was a man that was brilliant when it came to leading soldiers and leading people and recognizing his leadership and recognizing his authority. Caesar there in Rome said, "I'm going to take you, and I'm going to put you at a place of great turmoil." Understand, Jerusalem and Judea, where Israel is located today, was not a place of a peace. It was a place of a place of unrest, and it was known for its rebellion. It was known as a place where the enemies of Rome would try to attack, because right in the midst of the trade route from Egypt up to Syria was the capital city of Jerusalem. And man, the enemies of Rome would try to attack that city. They would try to hit the different travelers as they would travel, because it would hurt their Rome's business, and it would hinder and hurt their army. And so Rome had placed great importance on that city of Jerusalem. They had put many soldiers there. And here's a politician now in charge of keeping the peace. Oh, you understand, Pilate's been there for quite some time. He's been keeping an eye on things. And now, as he is awakened in John chapter number 18, he has to deal with this man by the name of Jesus Christ. And boy, we know that Jesus Christ had been on the scene for quite some time now. There in John chapter number 1 really is when the ministry of our Savior was put on full display. John began to preach that message, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And boy, the people from all over Jerusalem, all over Judea, all over Samaria, all over that part of the world left their homes, and they left their families, and they would go to the wilderness, and they would listen to John the Baptist as he would preach. And John would preach, "I'm not the Messiah, but I'm the forerunner for the Messiah," and he'd keep on preaching that message. The Messiah is coming. Well, there in John chapter number 1, as John was baptized, and Jesus Christ came to that Jordan River, and there he was baptized, and John made that statement, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And then there on that day Jesus Christ, his ministry was put on full display. There's no doubt that as John was preaching, the soldiers were there from Jerusalem, and they came back to Pilate, and they said, Pilate, John talked about this man by the name of Jesus. Maybe a couple chapters later, we read that Jesus goes to the wedding of Cana of Galilee, and there he turns the water into wine. And there he takes the 5,000 people gathered before him, and he takes 5 loaves and a couple fish, and man, he feeds a great crowd, and boy, some wonderful things begin to unfold. Hey, I'm sure Pilate heard about the Savior as he healed that blind man and that crippled man. You know, he restored his walk again. Hey, Pilate had his spies all throughout Jerusalem. He had them all throughout Judea. This politician was a connected individual. And yet here in John chapter number 18 and John chapter number 19, Pilate comes face to face with Jesus Christ. Oh, he had heard about him. He had heard from the spies, the FBI. He had maybe seen the news reports that Jesus had done another miracle. But now Pilate was confronted with that question of what was he going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder this morning, dear friend, this morning, on this Easter Sunday morning, what are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? There's this old song that goes, Jesus is standing at Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Surely what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? I wonder this morning, what will your response be to the Lord Jesus Christ? He was a politician that was awoken early in John chapter number 18. And he sits down and he begins to hear the case against Jesus Christ. Oh, he's a blasphemer, he heard. He's a man that's causing problems for Rome. He's a man that's anti-Caesar. And yet Jesus Christ was the one that made the statement, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God. Jesus was not promoting a revolt against Rome, and yet that was his accusation. And so there Pilate begins to examine the Savior. There he questions him, hey, who are you, Jesus? But as Isaiah 53 says, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And there Jesus Christ stood before Pilate, and Pilate came back with that statement. He said, I find no fault in him. And so to appease the crowd, what did Jesus do? He had him beat with the cat of nine tails. He thought if he's beat to a pulp, then surely the Jews will have compassion on him, and they will let him go. And yet when they saw Jesus being beaten, the religious leaders of the day, they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said, why, what evil hath he done? And yet they cried out the more, crucify him. And so Pilate said, here's what I'll do. I'll take Barabbas, this hardened criminal, this murderer, this man that has caused great problems for Jerusalem and for the Jews. He said, here's what I'll do. I'll put him on display and ask them, I'll release Barabbas or release Jesus Christ. And yet the crowd cried out, you know the story, crucify him. We'll release Barabbas and crucify Christ. And boy, Pilate sat down in that seat of judgment, shaking his head, what am I going to do? And to appease the people, the Bible says that he was willing to sign the Lord Jesus Christ's death warrant. Oh, understand, as Pilate signed that death warrant, it says in verse number 18 of John 19 that they crucified him there at that place called Golgotha. There they crucified him, two other men with him, two other hardened criminals. They were crucified with Christ. As Jesus Christ was there on that cross, lifted up between heaven and earth, the Bible says that Pilate got out his pen. He got out that piece of paper, and he began to write the sentence against the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, in the Roman Empire, a crucifixion was a common form of death. It was used really as a deterrent to keep people from rebelling against Rome. And men, if you were to rebel against Rome, what they would do is they would find you guilty, and they would lead you to a crossroads, to a major intersection. And there, that major intersection is where they would take those crosses, and they would hang those condemned criminals there on that cross. And above the cross, they would write the person's crime that was committed. Hey, this man said things against Caesar. Hey, this man was a murderer. Hey, this man did this or did that crime. And so Pilate pulled out that pen, and he pulled out that piece of paper, and he began to write the crime that Christ had committed. He said, Jesus is the King of the Jews. He's from Nazareth. Hey, would you notice here in this statement, in his crime, his accusation, would you notice 4 things that Pilate said against the Lord Jesus Christ? Notice again in verse number 19. The Bible says, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. Would you see, first of all, this morning here in this accusation and this sentence against Christ, would you notice the people that Pilate reviled? He said, Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. Understand, Pilate did not want to be in Jerusalem. He did not want to be in charge of Judea. Or understand, Judea was a place of great importance for the Roman Empire, because it was the capital of the 7 million Jews that were part of Rome's empire. There was 100 million people, so 7% of Rome's the people in, that were under Rome's jurisdiction would look back at Jerusalem, and they would call that home. And they would call that a place where they would look back to, they would go and visit. And so here he is in charge of this great city. Hundreds and thousands of people gather there to worship for this Passover service. And yet Pilate really did not desire, he did not want to be there. Man, he wasn't like New York City. It wasn't like Atlanta. It wasn't like Los Angeles. Hey, this was a rough, tough place to be at. And Pilate was at a place where he had to deal with those Jews each and every day. Understand, he did not like them. The account of the Jews before Alexander the Great was crowned king of Macedonia in 336 BC. The Jews were a great people. I'm sorry about that. But Dwayne, would you just kick that off for me? And there goes the sound system. Hey, you gotta love the sound system. They always mess with it. So long before Alexander was king, the Jews were in existence. Long before the Athenians began building their great kingdom in 447 BC, the Jews were a great people. Before Xerxes invaded Greece, before Cyrus the Persian conquered Babylon, before Nebuchadnezzar rose to power, before the Phoenicians founded Carthage, before the Assyrians forged their cruel empire, before Ramesses the Great began construction on his temple, the Jews were a great people. Their roots in history go back far, back before Hammurabi hammered out his legal code. Back before the beginning of the Bronze Age, the Jews were a people. They were strong and they were a thriving people. And yet understand, Pilate despised the Jews, not because of their history, but he despised the Jews because of their attitude and their mindset. You understand, Rome had the mentality, and their mindset and their thinking was, let's use our military might and let's use our power to destroy and conquer lands. And yet the Jews, they were more of the business people. Hey, they were the bankers. They were the money people. And they Jews realized something. They realized that you can bribe kings. You can bribe armies. But man, Pilate did not like that. And so there he had to deal with the Jews, the account of the Jews, the attitude of the Jews. Hey, they were people that were focused on finances, the actions of the Jews. What were they all about? They were all about survival. Man, you go to Jerusalem today and that's still their mentality. It's us against the world. And that survival mode kicked in. And Pilate had to deal with these people. On a daily basis, we see the people he despised. He was the king of the Jews. But notice, second of all, here in this passage, notice the place he ridiculed. It says in verse number 19 again, Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. Understand, Nazareth was just a hillbilly country. Man, that was a place that nobody would want to be from. It was Nathanael, that follower of Jesus, one of his disciples, that heard that Jesus was on the scene. And Nathanael made that statement. He said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Understand, Nazareth was not the West Point and the Harvards of the day. It was not the Stanfords and the Cal universities. It was a redneck country. Man, it was in the middle of nowhere. It was a backwoods country. There was shepherds. Hey, there was farmers. Hey, there was just folks. They didn't have the doctors there. They didn't have the lawyers there. They didn't have the people of great wealth there. Hey, Nazareth was a place that people looked down upon. And yet that, dear friend, is the place where our Savior was raised. Oh, he was born in Bethlehem. He went to Egypt, and after he came out of Egypt, he came back to Israel to live. He settled in that town of Nazareth. There Jesus Christ was a carpenter. And there he took care of the carpentry work there in that city of Nazareth. And Pilate wrote that title. He said, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you who he is. Hey, Jews, let me remind you something, that he is from that town called Nazareth. It was a place that the Jews despised because it was a place where the half-breeds lived. Hey, they were the people, the Galileans in Acts 4:13 were called unlearned and ignorant men. There in John 1:45, Nathanael asked, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Hey, understand, Nazareth was not a place that produced the smart people of the day.
And yet there, as Pilate stood there writing Jesus Christ accusation, as he penned those words, Jesus of Nazareth, it was a place that he ridiculed. We see the people he reviled. Number two, the place he ridiculed. But notice thirdly, the person he renounced. It says, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Hey, Pilate had a choice to make. What am I going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? I've examined him. I've heard about him for 3 years. It was Herod the king that desired to meet him. He desired to see some miracles performed. And Pilate is now sitting in that seat of judgment. He's sitting at that place having to decide, what am I going to do with Jesus Christ? And yet he came to a place where instead of accepting him, instead of freeing him, instead of letting him go, he condemned and crucified an innocent man. He signed the Lord Jesus Christ's death warrant. How we heard about the name of Jesus, it was a common name. Jesus is from the name that we get Joshua from. It means Jehovah saves. It was a common name throughout Israel at that time. Hey, Jesus Christ was a man that had a wonderful reputation, and yet Jesus Christ was put on trial, and Pilate put that accusation, this is Jesus of Nazareth, a person he renounced. Let me say that name, Jesus, it rings true and loud today. What will you do with Jesus? Oh, that song, that chorus that goes, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so, for Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Hey friend, Jesus Christ, his name is a saving name. It says in Matthew 1:21, when the angel came to Mary, he said this, he said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Understand that name Jesus is a special name, and yet Pilate with scorn and with scoff wrote that name. He rejected Jesus Christ. He said, I am not accepting him as my Savior. I am not making him my King. I am not putting him at that place of authority in my life. Instead, he mocked and made fun of and laughed at the Savior. It says in Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Hey friend, the only way for you to go to heaven, it's not in your religion, it's not in communion, it's not in putting money in the offering plate, it's not in the baptismal tank, but there's only one way to heaven. And Jesus said in John 14 verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man, we live in a day and time where people say, well, I'm a good person. My good works should get me to heaven. Hey, I try to follow the golden rule. That should work out good for me when I stand before Peter and Jesus at the pearly gate. And yet Jesus made it very clear. He said, it's only through me. It's not through religion. It's not through a membership name. It's not through a family member. It's not through some great deed that you've done, but it's through the saving name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I wonder this morning, friend, has there been a time when you've trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior? I'm not asking you about your religious background. I'm not asking you to try to follow the golden rule. I'm asking you, has Jesus Christ saved your soul? Oh, Pilate heard the name, that saving name, that name that is above every name. He heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet instead of accepting him to be his saving faith, he ridiculed him, and he signed that name, the person he renounced, the name of Jesus. Let me say, not only is the name of Jesus a saving name, but the name of Jesus is a sanctifying name. It says in Colossians 3 verse 17, wherefore, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Understand, the name of the Lord Jesus is a sanctifying name. It's a name that sets apart God's people to be a people holy and pure before the Savior. You say, Pastor, I know Christ as my Savior. There's not a doubt in my mind that if I die today, I go to heaven. Oh, understand, the name of Jesus ought to motivate you to live a holy and pure life. That name of Jesus ought to separate you. It ought to sanctify you. There ought to be a difference in your life because of the name of Jesus Christ. And yet sadly I see all over the place, all over our state, all over the country, all over the world, there are those that claim the name of Christ, and yet they're involved in wickedness and sin. Understand this morning that the name of Jesus Christ ought to purify your life, ought to motivate you to live that holy life. Why? Because, dear friend, if you know Christ as your Savior, if you are a Christian, you are following him. And that ought to be the testimony that I have. I am a true follower of Christ. You know, everybody claims to be a Christian today. the politicians. Man, if you're not a Christian, man, you're not going to get elected in most states, right? I think about some of the political candidates running for president, and man, they all talk a good talk of being religious. Man, they all talk about loving Jesus. They all carry their Bible when they go to church and when they visit a state. And boy, I'm sure you turn on the news today and you'll find out these candidates went and visited church today. And boy, they all love Jesus with their lips. But boy, you look at their lives, what do you find? You find a mess and a lot of lies. Why? Because they name the name of Christ, but the name of Christ is not setting their lives apart. The person he renounced the saving name of Jesus. He renounced that sanctifying name of Jesus. Understand, Jesus, his name is at standard. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We see number one. And the title, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, the crime that Jesus committed. We see the people he despised. We see the place that he ridiculed. We see the person he renounced. But would you notice fourthly this morning there in verse number 19 again, it says, Jesus of Nazareth, notice the statement, the King of the Jews. Notice lastly, the prince he rejected. Pilate, what are you going to do with Jesus? He claims to be the king. He claims in earlier in John chapter number 18, Pilate said, who are you? And Jesus said, listen, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then I'd tell my disciples to take up their arms and take out their swords and fight for me. But Jesus said, no. He said, I'm not here to fight. He said, my kingdom's a heavenly kingdom. And Jesus made it very clear to Pilate that he was not just a prophet. He was just not a great teacher. He just was not a miracle worker. But he was truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so here Pilate stands before Jesus. He writes that guilty verdict. What did he do? The prince he rejected. He said no to Jesus. And he said yes to his own political power. He could have bowed the knee to Christ and had enjoyed eternity with the Savior in heaven. But instead he bowed to Caesar. Instead he bowed to the Roman government. Instead of submitting to Christ, he could have accepted him. But instead he rejected him. The choice he made. He made the choice to reject him. Oh, we could have accepted him. The Roman centurion that stood at the cross. As he saw the different things being to pass. He saw the darkness that was over all the land. He saw the earthquake as there was great earthquakes in that time when Christ was crucified. He heard the temple was the curtain was torn in the temple. Well, he heard about the news that was coming out about the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. Hey, Pilate could have accepted him. And yet Pilate was a man that said no to Jesus. Oh, I think about the centurion. He said, surely this is the Son of God. I wonder this morning, friend, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Oh, we celebrate Easter, the day that he rose from the dead. We think about that day, 3 days after he died on that cross, how he burst through that tomb and rolled the stone away. And boy, he's alive today. You know, the story is a wonderful story. But I wonder this morning, what are you going to do with that story? What are you going to do with the Savior? Understand, you have the choice to either accept him or reject him. It says in Revelation chapter number 17 and verse 14, one day Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to be riding a white horse, and on his vesture and on his thigh is a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says in Psalm 24 that Jesus is called the King of Glory. I wonder this morning, will you accept Christ to be the King of your life? Will you crown the Prince, the King in your life, or will you reject him? Hey, Pilate stood there, had to make up his mind. Am I going to be the politician? Am I going to keep the peace here in Jerusalem and try to keep my job for years to come? Or am I going to accept Christ as my Savior? Am I going to make him the King of my life? And instead of accepting the eternal Savior, he chose Caesar Augustus, the temporal king. And instead of enjoying a place in heaven with Jesus Christ, instead he's spending eternity away from the Savior in the lake of fire. Why? Because he made the choice, instead of rejecting him, he made the choice to reject him. The consequences that he endured the eternity of separation. He forever and forever, because Pilate refused to accept Christ as his Savior, he's going to spend it separated from him. But friend, this morning, you and I sit here on this Sunday morning with the opportunity, with the choice to make. What are we going to do with Jesus Christ? You can either reject him. Oh, the crowd that morning, they saw him and they rejected him. Oh, the religious religious leaders of that day, they heard about Christ and they rejected him. Pilate the politician heard about Christ and he rejected him. I wonder this morning, what are you going to do with him? The thief on the cross, one rejected and one accepted. Then one of the thieves said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." He said, "When you come to paradise," he said, "would you remember me?" And that thief on the cross went to eternity to heaven with Jesus. Why? Because he accepted him. I wonder this morning, friend, would you make that choice? Would you make that decision that you would make the choice to trust Christ to be your personal Savior? Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth." There was the people he reviled. Of Jesus of Nazareth, the place he ridiculed. The person he renounced was Jesus, and the prince he rejected, the King of the Jews. I wonder this day, dear friend, what are you going to do with Jesus? You can either reject him, or you can accept him. You hear this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. There's never been a time in your life that you realized you were a sinner, lost and on your way to a devil's hell. You realize Jesus Christ died on that cross for you and rose again. And by faith alone, apart from works, you trusted Christ to be your Savior. If there's never been that time in your life today, dear friend, would you accept him? Instead of walking out of here, rejected him. Hey, salvation in Christ is very simple. Childlike faith. A child can trust Christ to be their Savior. What do they have to realize? They have to realize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nothing that you could do to earn God's favor. There's no works. There's no great deed that you could do to get yourself right with God. Dear friend, you're guilty before him. You've got to realize that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I stand before God guilty and condemned. I stand before Jesus not of my own goodness, but no, of his righteousness is what I'm pleading. And by faith alone, apart from works, you've got to turn from your sin. And you've got to trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. I wonder, friend, this morning, have you ever done that? Are you sure if you die today, you go to heaven? If not this morning, why didn't you accept him to be your Savior? You hear this morning, you know Christ as your Savior. I wonder today, is the name of Jesus a sanctifying name in your life? Is it motivating you to live that holy and pure life? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer this morning. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And I thank you, Lord, for this reminder. This Easter Sunday, we think about that day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But Lord, all the different events leading up to it, we think about Pilate. Lord, Pilate could have accepted you to be his personal Savior. He could have crowned you King of Kings in his life, and yet Pilate made the choice to say no to you. Lord, if there's one today that has never trusted Christ to be their Savior, I pray today they would not follow in the footsteps of Pilate, but I pray that they would make the personal decision to trust Christ this morning to be their Savior. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We've come to a time now called an invitation. An invitation is simply a time to make a decision with the message that has been preached. I wonder if perhaps this morning you'd be here and you say, "Pastor, I've heard the story of Jesus. I know Jesus Christ was perfect and sinless. One day he went to that cross of Calvary. And the purpose of him going to the cross was to shed his blood so that way I might have forgiveness of sin." You say, "Preacher, I've heard the story. Easter, he rose again 3 days later up from the grave, he arose. I've heard the story. But there's never been a time in my life that I realized I was lost and in need of Christ. And yet this morning I've heard the message preached. I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And this morning I want to personalize that. I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior." You say, "Pastor, this morning I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But boy, I'd like to get that settled this morning. Would you pray for me?" If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out this morning, but I'd like to pray for you. "Pastor, I'm not sure if I die today and go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my soul. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. Here's my hand." Anybody like that this morning? I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. "Pastor, pray for me. Not sure I'm going to heaven, but here's my hand. Here's my hand." I wonder, lastly, how many of God's people would say, "Pastor, that name of Jesus, boy, it's not been the sanctifying name in my life like I ought to. But God spoke to my heart this morning. Would you pray for me? There's a decision I need to make." If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room? "Preacher, God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me this morning? Here's my hand. Here's my hand." Good. Amen. Well, good. Well, Father, I thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. And I pray now that we would act upon the message that's been preached. Lord, I pray that Jesus Christ would not be rejected in our lives, but instead that we would accept him. Lord, if there's one that does not know you as their Savior, may today be the day of salvation for them. Lord, move, I pray, in a special way in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's all stand together and take our hymn books and turn to hymn number 388 this morning. The song is, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way." And this morning, if God's spoken to your heart, maybe you need to spend some time in prayer with Him. We'd love to invite you to do that.